Where I would like to invite you to turn this evening to the book of Joshua, the Old Testament, book of Joshua. We're going to look at Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. I want to bring some things on the book of Joshua, just some things Lord laid this one on my heart to bring just this lesson this evening. I didn't want to get into 1 Thessalonians. I'm here this evening after just coming back from a trip. And just maybe just a couple things, the trip to Mexico went very well, the travels there, the travel back. I had a very tight connection in when I between my first and my second leg on the way there and praying about it the whole way. It was like 45 minutes at the Dallas-Fort Worth airport, and which is just a huge airport. I only had to go between A and B terminals, but we landed about 10, 15 minutes early. That helped. And then also, I had asked a couple people, I said, would you mind? I said, I got a really tight connection. Would you allow me to get by you, which were basically the row in front of me, and not just one row, but I got about three or four rows up in front of me as well. And so I finally got all the way to the gate there. If you're flying flight 123, that's no longer at this gate. You need to go to this other gate, which was like a quarter to a third of a mile away or so. Which was okay. I made it there as well, but it was just, there was an iron. It's like, I think I just passed that one like a quarter of a mile back, you know? The time in Mexico was very good. They had three of the other men speak. I used an interpreter through that. That's interesting, talking through an interpreter. I don't know if any of you have ever done that before, but where you're delivering a message, not just conveying, where you're having just discussion, but you get through. You get through a statement, like if you're doing like John 3:16, you'd say, for God so loved the world, pause, okay, they repeat that. You could maybe go a little bit farther than that, but you're basically giving, you know, a thought. You might say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, pause, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so finding where that medium was there, but it breaks your concentration. It's not the same as a normal flow of conversation where you would just continue to teach and go from one thought to the next thought to the next thought, because as I'm waiting for him, I'm looking up my notes. Is that what I want to say? Is that how I want to say it? And then the other thing that I found is just because of the order of how he preferred to do things, I don't always start reading my scripture immediately. I may have some things that I do in the introduction. So that was a little bit different in how I would normally maybe start something. I may give a paragraph of introduction first, and then I may say, let's go ahead and read. And instead, we started reading first. And so anyway, it was just a different way of doing things. And he himself, he was down in Peru, so he already knew what I was going through. And we had already discussed it. He discussed the how things would work, and it was good. So he was a good interpreter. The people were blessing to be able to teach, to preach to. The other men that also delivered messages did a good job. I happened to have had a phone app that I could turn on and put it on Spanish, and I could just push start and listen to, or I could read everything that I couldn't understand. And so I got quite a bit out of the messages that were brought when I wasn't teaching. And then I found out this app can actually do some pretty neat things as well, where I can give it to you. And Don, if you're speaking Swahili or something like that, because I know you speak fluent Swahili. Anyway, I could go ahead and put that on there with English, and I could say in English, it would interpret in Swahili. You push your button, and you say what you need to say, and then it would translate it in English, and we can actually have a conversation. Some of you may have used those before, but anyway, it works real, real well for holding a conversation and talking with people. So enough of that, but the messages, enjoyed bringing those, and just being a blessing to God's people. So here in Joshua chapter 1 this evening, I think I'm going, yep, I am. Joshua chapter 1 this evening, the book of Joshua is a book that really deals with victory. Some 40 years before the account of what we're reading in the book of Joshua, you find that God had brought Israel out of the land of Egypt and to bless them, to lead them to the place where Joshua was going to lead them to. And you find that when they left Egypt, there was a lot of murmuring, there was a lot of complaining, there was a lot of disgruntledness that they had with God. They truly didn't believe him, and you find really that most of those that came out of Egypt were really unbelievers. As a nation, they were God's people, but individually in that nation, they didn't have a faith in their hearts. That's where most of them were. And so a short period of time, I think within a year or so after they came out of Egypt, there were spies that were sent into the nation of Israel, Palestine, Canaan, all the same place, graphically when you look at the whole area back then. And they came back and gave a good report, or at least Joshua and Caleb came back and gave a good report. But the other 10 men that came back with them said, those people, they're way too big. They've got basically castle walls that are too high. There's no way that we can defeat them. And Joshua said, look, God is on our side. We can do this. But the people didn't believe, and so they wandered around in the wilderness for some 40 years. And as a result of that, you find out that generation, those parents, the grandparents, they died out, and their children grew up in that 40 years, and so they would come over into this land. And so they disobeyed, and they would not get to go in and conquer the land. And so God punished them by causing them to wander in the wilderness for that 40 years until that generation died out. And it's during this time that we see, of course, that Joshua believed. We find that Caleb believed. And there were others as well that demonstrated a belief in God itself. But the book of Deuteronomy itself, the previous book, just right across the page, possibly for you, or back a page, when you look at this book was, the book of Deuteronomy was probably written just prior to them going into the promised land that God had given to them. Deuteronomy means second law, and so the law was given to them again, and other details that had not been given to them previously, but now there's a preparation for them to come in to the land at this time. And so the book of Deuteronomy was written just prior to them going to the promised land, and it's in this book that Moses charges Joshua to be strong and of good courage and to lead the people in the land. And whereas Moses and the Pentateuch of that is, the five books of the law are really somewhat of a picture of death where people are dying out, okay, because of their disobedience. What you find for Israel in Joshua is, as I started with, it's really a time of victory. It's a time where you're going to find they're going into the land of Israel where there's some 31 nations that are here, 31 kings that are ruling over there, and Joshua conquers every single one of those with the military of Israel during that time. And God is moving in the midst of them. They wouldn't have been able to do that without God. Okay? Let us understand that God was behind all of that. But God takes them into the land at the right place and going the correct direction. When you think about it, coming from Egypt, just so when you're thinking geographically, when you come up to Egypt, Egypt and Israel border one another. But God didn't take them that way. He took them up through Jordan, which would have been to the east, where we hear about the country of Jordan. So they're on the east side of the Jordan River that's there. And they come in from that side, and then they go westward as they cross the Jordan River to come into the land there. And it is believed by many that had they come up from the south, they would have had a greater conflict than coming in the direction that they did. So when we study Joshua, we see how he leads the people into rest, how he's a picture of himself, of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a picture. I mean, it's not complete rest that is there. And part of that is because of the disobedience, even of those that went in. God tells, when you read the book of Joshua, you see that they're supposed to go in and they're supposed to conquer, and you find that there's not the absolute obedience of those other of those tribes that are there. And so as a result of that, you find that there's a conflict and they wind up suffering with things. Though Joshua is a picture of the rest and how there's a conquering that is there, the Lord regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, find that there's a day coming when Jesus Christ, when he comes back, he's going to conquer all and he's going to set it up right, and there will be a true rest that the people of God will have. I want to go through this chapter here and try to cover, just bring out some highlights of it as we're looking at it here. I want us to see the commission of Joshua in verses 1 through 9, and then we'll look at the command of Joshua and the courage of Joshua as well. In the commission of Joshua in verses 1 through 9, God personally calls Joshua. We see here in verse 1, it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." This command, God is not enlisting Joshua. He's telling him, okay? He's commanding him to go. And there's sometimes, I guess, amongst Christianity, there's a statement that God is looking for volunteers. God's not looking for volunteers. God moves upon the hearts of people to have him serve him. And those that truly are his, that walk by faith, is there sometimes a resistance? Are there sometimes excuses? Absolutely. Is it what we should do? Absolutely not. Okay? But where God desires for us to serve, he changes our hearts. He gives us a will. He gives us the assurance that he needs to do what needs to be done, that he desires to be done for him. And so he chooses people into service. And Joshua had been chosen back in the book of Exodus, we read, and even in Numbers, we find some areas here. I want us to go back and read a few things. Let's go back to the book of Numbers to begin with. Numbers 27, right before the book of Deuteronomy, Numbers 27. And I'm going to read just a bit of a long, about six verses or so. Numbers 27, we'll begin reading in verse 18. It says, "The Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him," verse 19, "and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight, and thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation, the children of Israel, may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel of him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. And he laid his hands upon him and he gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses." So what's going on here? God is telling Moses, look, you need to give some recognition to him. You need to lay some honor. I'm giving him some authority. Joshua, really, for all practical purposes, becomes Moses' general to lead the armies when they go against the Amalekites and others. And so he has this role of recognition. He has this role of authority. He has this role of prominence. But he's not the man like God had called Moses to be in that position of prominence. And that's okay. There's a place where we have to understand, look, we're not always going to be first man, if I can put it that way, or first woman in that way. It's okay to be in that role. If that's where God puts us, that's a good role to be in, and that's what we need to be satisfied with. And so Joshua was in that role for a period of time, and as he's in that role, he is learning what God would have him to learn. Let's also look in the book of Deuteronomy. Let's look in chapter 3, Deuteronomy chapter 3. So there's honor that's placed on him there. There's recognition. There's authority. Deuteronomy chapter 3, we find a couple other statements to complement what we just read in Numbers. Deuteronomy 3, and I'm going to look at verse 21 and then just drop down to verse 28. Deuteronomy 3 and verse 21, then down to verse 28. And he says, "And I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, Thine eyes have seen all that the Lord your God had done unto these two kings. So shall the Lord do unto all the kingdoms whither thou passest." And he's talking specifically about there were two kings that they conquered on the side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, were the names of those two kings and the nations, and they were able to defeat them. Verse 28 tells us, "But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see." Moses was only permitted to see it. He wasn't allowed to lead them in to that place of victory because of his disobedience while when God had spoken unto him. We see that the authority that is there, now we're giving a recognition here to Joshua more than this. Like Joshua is going to be the one that is going to be the leader. He's going to be the one that is going to guide them. And God's plans and purposes are always right. He always plans and purposes our service, even before we're born. Even before we're born. Think about that. God knows the beginning of our days. He knows the middle of our days. He knows the end of our days. He knows what He has determined and what He desires to do. Let's go forward to the book of Jeremiah for a moment. Jeremiah, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Pretty powerful set of verses that are here. So even though we see, you know, here Joshua's alive and God taking him in this way, you've got Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a little bit like Moses and wanted to make excuses. And God is answering his excuse in verses 5 forward, Jeremiah 1 in verses 5 and 4. He says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee," that is, I set thee apart. "And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, that shalt thou speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations, and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant." Jeremiah would be in that place, just exactly where God determined for him to be. And even though he's fearful, this is a fearful thing to get up and talk in front of people. Here it's the most difficult thing to do, but to lead people. Now you're going to go and tell people that don't want to hear what you have to say. It's one thing to teach, to preach to people that are welcoming, they want to hear what you have to say. It's quite another to go to somebody that people that don't want to hear what you have to say. And there's going to be a lot of intrepidation that is there. And so Joshua has taken them into a land, and they weren't going to have a lot of victory applause from those as they went into the land. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of resistance that was there. There's a lot of embattlement that those that would resist Joshua and the Israelites. As we continue to consider verses 2 and 4, and I've already read part of verse 2, but he tells them to arise and to go over this Jordan and to in the land that he's giving unto the children of Israel. Verse 3 says, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." I told Moses, Joshua 1 there in verse 3, I told Moses, I'm telling you, God had told Abraham to walk through the land prior to that point, but there's promises that are here. God assured Joshua of his leadership and God's backing. God's not dead, okay? He's not dead. When Moses died, God did not die. It didn't end. And unfortunately, one of the things that you have in churches, I think, across America, and it's probably not just in America, that there's times where leadership leaves a church, and they think, well, because the leadership's gone, for example, like if a pastor passes away or something happens, or God is still the same. This is why we should never follow a personality, and we should always follow the truth of God's word. This is critically important. There's a lot of people who understand that. They get enamored with a personality and says, boy, when he speaks, he really speaks to me. That it's good that a person can be articulate and they can teach. And I don't want to downplay that and say that it has no place. But if the reason why you're getting something out of God's word is only because you have that person and you're not relying upon the Holy Spirit, we personally have a problem. Okay? We personally have something where we're not there to be engaged in, God, what do you have for me? A lot of people don't pray before they go to church. God, teach me what I need to know. They don't pray the previous day or, you know, throughout the week. God, teach me what I need to understand. They're not personally having, you know, spending some quality time with the Lord or, you know, looking for the Spirit of God to give them leadership and in that way. And so as a result of that, they hear words. They hear inspiration. But it never rises to a place where it produces spiritual fruit or the amount of spiritual fruit that it should produce in a person's life. because it becomes more self-gratifying that, oh, yeah, I got something here today. How are you going to use it? One of the things that I did on Sunday afternoon in the message, the last message that I preached, it was a continuation of the Saturday message, and it had to do with the walk of the Christian out of the book of Ephesians. And after I was done delivering the message, I asked several of the young people after that, I said, so how are you going to serve the Lord? How are you going to walk with the Lord? And I had a couple kids, or maybe at least one young lady, I'm going to guess she was about 14 to 16 years old, she happened to speak English, and she just kind of laughed. She really hadn't thought about it. The message to me really hadn't grabbed her like it should have, okay? Or maybe her heart wasn't prepared. But, you know, asking, and then I asked another young boy, I think he was probably about 10 years old, and he's like, I'm already doing this, and I'm doing this, and I can't remember everything he said. There was like two or three things that he told me. I said, that's great. I said, just continue serving the Lord and doing, you know, but he's 10 years old, you know, and he's already helping, you know, in the church and, you know, doing things in that way. And so we need to know God's direction and what he would have us to do. But notice here in verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, God has given it. This is a promise that he gave unto the Israelites. He's reiterating unto Joshua as he had unto Moses. And so God promised that Joshua would lead Israel to conquer the land and divide it for an inheritance. And this is what we find in verses 2, 3, in verse 6, and as he continues to tell him these. The land promise itself, this land promise, I mentioned a few moments ago, Abraham. So we go back several hundreds of years, 400 plus years before this, God had given promise to Abraham numerous times, and especially at the end of Genesis 13, you find the truth that God tells him, look, look east, look west, look north, look south, all the land you can see, it's yours. He's telling Joshua, look, everywhere where you step, I've given this to you. And it's just part of God's promise. There will be a day that Israel will acquire all of that land that is there at a future time when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. He's going to lay his stamp on it, and it's going to be set up the way that he desires for it to be. Let's continue reading here in verse 4 and following. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, so we're up in the north, right? It's where Lebanon is to Israel, even of the great river Euphrates. Now we're going east. All the land of the Hittites unto the great sea. The great sea is the Mediterranean Sea toward the going down of the sun. That's on the west, right? Shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I shall be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Let me just stop for a moment here, and let's just stay for a moment here in verse 7. Just live God's word. Just do what God tells you to do. This is the truth that is here, and what's good for Joshua is good for us. It's good for all believers to follow God's word. It's good for the lost as well. But we would do it by faith, right? Do according to, you see here in verse 7, only. That's how verse 7 starts out here in the King James. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Don't turn any which way, and if you live according to the word of God, you're going to prosper. So the question is here is, do all people prosper when they obey God's law? And if you're looking at things with human eyes and you're looking at things materially, people will say, well, no, Christians don't always prosper. Those that walk by faith always prosper. Prosperity is not, We judge prosperity by how much money a person has in their bank account, by maybe the size of the house they own, by the kind of vehicles that they own, etc., their education, their prominence, those kind of things. Before God, prosperity has to do, first of all, with obedience and meekness to serve God, to live for God. to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's primary. Now, what God is talking about, the prosperity that is here also for Joshua goes also, it's accompanied by the fact that there would be victory, that as long as he was obedient to what God told him to do, there would be victory that was there. And if we were to go forward several chapters and we wound up over in chapter 7 and chapter 8, actually 6 through 8, we would find that there was a man by the name of Achan that was over there that took some things from Jericho that he wasn't supposed to take. And when they went to the next city that was a lot smaller and a lot less potent to be able to handle Israel, they failed and people died. Now, Joshua had done the right thing, but there was a man and his family that knew about it that didn't do the right thing. And so God's rooting out the evil that is there. But we need to walk with God. We need to live for God. And when we do that, when we follow God in this way, there's a prosperity to our soul, to our spirit. And then there's other benefits that may or may not come with that. But just being obedient to God and living for him. He goes on in verse 8, "For this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Once again, the word prosperous, where he had prosper in the previous, and good success. There are benefits in walking in obedience to the Lord. And Joshua, he would follow God. He would look unto him. He would seek God in every way. And as a result of that, there would be God's blessings that are there. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 7. I'm running short on time here, but Deuteronomy 7, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 1. It says, "When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, 7 nations greater and mightier than thou, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for they shall turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shalt thou deal with them. Ye shall destroy them, destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire." So God gives command here. He's basically telling Israel to do this, to go in and to perform a genocide in the land. You say, why would he do that? I thought God was a loving God. He is a loving God, but he's also a God of justice. And oftentimes people have difficulty equating this. These people were idolaters. They hated God. They hated Jehovah God. They had no use for him. They didn't like him. Had they done that, rather than coming against Joshua and the army, they would have maybe at least done like the Jebusites did, that tricked Israel into saying, hey, make a league with us. We're from a far land. And the reason why they did that is because they didn't want to be conquered. Now, they wound up being slaves unto Israel and carrying their water and getting their firewood and those kinds of things. But you find that, you know, these kings, I mean, they were fighting for their life. And I suppose, you know, if you're another nation and you got a different nation that's coming in, you're going to protect your property. You're going to do those things. But this was more than just on a social platform. This was more than just a military embattlement that was going on. And a campaign that was here, there was a spiritual problem that was here. And it's indicated within this text of Deuteronomy that, look, there is not to be an intermarriage for this reason. There's two different gods that are in the relationship. There's two different deities that are in the relationship. There's me that I want you to follow, and I want your children to follow, and each generation to follow. And if you intermarry, they are going to pull you the other way. This is why we need to be careful with who we marry, right? We need to be careful in who we give direction to, even with our children. And, you know, time would have it, even with their grandchildren. And so, you know, setting a standard in that way. Let's go back to Joshua here. I don't have time. Joshua chapter 1. So we see that God tells him in this way. Verse 9, he says, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And that's important to understand that. To know that when God is leading and he's directing, when he's given us the guidance that we need, that and he's given us that direction, that he's going to bless us. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water," right? "Whose fruit shall not wither." Psalm 1 tells us these truths. Let me give you an axiom here. Disobedience results in delay or denial. Disobedience results in delay or denial of God's blessings. Obedience results in the reward and rejoicing of God's blessings. Obedience results in the reward or rejoicing of God's blessings. Let's look at one verse in the book of Proverbs that substantiates this. Proverbs chapter 13 and 13. Proverbs 13, 13. There's more scripture we could put with this. We don't have time to do that here this evening. But Proverbs 13, 13 tells us this: "Whosoever despiseth the word shall be destroyed." I said that in this axiom that there would be delay or denial. This one speaks of destruction. That's definitely a denial. Okay, so, "Whosoever despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandments shall be rewarded." There's a reward there. Or you find that in this axiom I gave you, there's reward and rejoicing. And so following God, just living for God, serving God the way they'd have you do this. And so Joshua, he was a good leader. He was a good, in that way, and he followed God. He lived for the Lord. He challenged the people to live that way as well. In verses 10 through 15, we find that Joshua commands the officers and the people, saying that they are to pass through the host and command the people, saying, "Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in and possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you the rest and hath given you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which God gave you on this side of Jordan." Okay, so they're on the east side of the Jordan River, right? They're in the land of Jordan at this point. And there were 2.5 of the tribes. One of those tribes would have land on the east of the Jordan River, the other one, and it would also have land that was on the west side of the Jordan River. But 2.5 of them, they say, "Hey, we want to be in this stretch of land." And God said, "Hey, that's fine. You can do that, but you do need to go over, and you need to help the other tribes take care of business over there first." And so this is what Joshua is telling them, that God will provide. So verse 14, "Your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren, armed all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of Jordan toward the sun rising." So Joshua directs, he prepares them for service like a good leader would do. He's putting his time in that way. And there's time, you know, where you're talking to people. There's a, when you look in, we won't turn there right now, but I believe it's 1 Timothy 2 and verse 2, where Paul says, you know what, "I have given the truth to men who will listen to it, who will give the truth to others, that will give the truth to others." And we need to be faithful with the truth of God's word. We need to pass it on to others. Some people are not ready for the truth that they need to have. Jesus told even the apostles, the disciples, that "I have many things to teach you, but you cannot hear them right now." So sometimes people are not ready for things, but there are certain things that people just need to hear, and they need to be ready for, they need to get ready for. And so Joshua is given this instruction: look, you need to prepare yourself because battle is coming. On a spiritual side, we need to be prepared in the reading of God's word, the meditating of God's word. There's times when we are going to speak to people, we're going to need to be able to give them answers. And if we're not constantly reading God's word and seeking his will in areas, you know what, we're not going to be prepared. And that doesn't mean that there won't be times where you may go ahead and read, and there's going to be times where people are going to ask you questions, and you're going to have to say, you know what, I need to look into that. That's okay to say that, okay? I need to go back, I need to look at God's word on that. I'm not sure of the answer on that. I read some things, but let me go back and make sure that I'm giving you the right information. So Joshua directed them to prepare for service. Joshua directed the people to the way of God and the things that that they were to do. And just remember this, you know, where God guides, God provides. He is going to give what is needed. We'll close out here, of course, the end of the chapter, verses 16 through 18. And here you have these 2.5 tribes. They're answering back to Joshua. And it says, and they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. So they're looking to him. They recognize what he is saying. They're believing God. They're believing him. According as we hearkened unto Moses, verse 17, in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. And notice that word, the next word, only, that is there. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. And so this statement here, as they obeyed Moses, so they would obey Joshua, only the Lord thy God be with thee, is not a condition, but a reason and a motivation for following Joshua. Look, we want God to be with you like he was with Moses. We know that God was with Moses, and we desire only that God would be with you as well. And when you look in verse 18, whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. So in spite of rebellion in the camp, in spite of those that would resist, in spite of the disobedience that others would display, look, we want you to have the courage that is needed, just like God has already talked to them. We need to have a courage, and we just need to follow the Spirit's leadership. I know there's times where God bids us, you know, sometimes he tells us, no, don't do that. No, don't do that. Other times he says, no, I want you to do this instead. And having the courage to do that and not knowing what the outcome is, we need to be like Joshua and to say, God, I don't know what the outcome of this is, but I really believe that you're leading me in a particular direction. And the way that God leads us, that's the direction we need to go in. And it can be difficult. Sometimes we have to talk to others that are around us. I was telling, I was talking with the interpreter the other day, and I was telling him, you know, years ago, I had been looking to move in my secular employment from one company to another company because I needed to do something for our family. Finances were becoming tight. I hadn't seen a raise in about 3 years, and so it was getting to be difficult. And I began applying at some places, and I had somebody that company I had applied to, and we had agreed that I would begin work. They had determined that they were going to hire me. And I gave about 2.5 weeks notice to my current employer that I had. And it was interesting. It was on a Wednesday night, just like this, after the service. And I had one of the men in the church that I was telling this to. Yeah, I start Monday my new job. And he asked me a question that I haven't forgotten. This has been how many years ago? Probably about 30-ish. Not quite 30 years ago, but close to it, 28, 29 years ago. He says, did you pray about it? No, I didn't. That was a bit humbling to have to admit that I didn't pray about it. So I started praying about it, asking, Lord, is it okay if I take this job? He says, no. I said, really? I'm supposed to start like in 4 days. It's like, no, I don't want you taking the job. And I was reading his word, okay? I was praying about this. I mean, it's something, you know, that just looking for, you know, some direction, some insight in this. As much as I'm like, but God, he's like, no, don't take the job. And I don't know why, but I wound up, so this was on a Wednesday. I'm praying about this Wednesday evening, Thursday. I can't remember if it was Thursday or Friday. I know I called the company on Friday. So I called the company on Friday, and I talked to one of the men that was part of the hiring, and I said, I'm not going to be able to take the job. He says, why not? I said, well, the Lord told me I shouldn't. He's like, what do you mean the Lord told you you shouldn't? I says, I was praying about it, and he said, I shouldn't take the job. I said, I'm sorry, I apologize. I said, I know it's Friday, I'm supposed to start on Monday, and I'm sorry that I'm doing this to you, but I can't take the job, okay? And he says, well, okay. And, you know, there's probably some other words that were said at that time, but, you know, when God leads, when he gives leadership, when he speaks, you know, we need to listen. Now, God provided something, as far as I'm concerned, that was far better than that several months later, that was of a greater help to our family. But, you know, you don't know, I don't know everything that was there. I just know that I wasn't supposed to continue forward with that. And sometimes you got this peer pressure. It's like, but I've already told them I'm going to take the job. I've already promised them. Well, you may have promised them that that's what you're going to do, or you've accepted the offer, but if God's leading you another direction, you know what? You need to follow his leadership and his direction. And you need to apologize and say, I'm sorry, you know, for that. I wasn't in a covenant with them, at that point. I mean, I wasn't in a working relationship. But had I been, I mean, I would have, if God told me to leave, you know, a week later, 2 weeks later, that's what I would have had to have done. So, anyway, you know what? We just need to have the courage to follow God's leadership, to follow the teaching of his word, the leading of his spirit. And may God help us do right. May God give us the courage that we need to live before him and to serve him. And to remember that disobedience results in delay or denial of God's blessings, whereas obedience results in the reward and rejoicing of God's blessings. And may God speak to our hearts and give us what we need to live for him and to serve him.